We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, everybody, back into another episode of Equal Play. This week is honestly MVP caliber because we got the WNBA Finals MVP on deck, Kalia Copper. Thank you so much for joining us on Equal Play.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, it was a no-brainer having you on the podcast. It's been a minute since we talked, which is honestly, I don't know about you, but it feels a little weird for me not checking in with you guys every day. So first things first, how has it been the first few weeks since winning the championship here in Chicago?
It's been crazy, you know, super busy, you know, from literally, you know, winning and us partying, you know, enjoying ourselves, going out to the parade, to, you know, trying to pack up, you know, moving back to Philly, and then Philly, you know, really showing out and showing me love. So it's been super busy, but wouldn't trade it for anything, but definitely enjoying myself before I get ready to head overseas.
Yeah, you know, you talk about being celebrated in Philly. Obviously, you all were celebrated here, but this week you were honored at City Hall in Philly. And I wonder what that experience was like for you, especially given just, you know, how much pride and passion you have for your city and your roots and the player that they've made you.
It was special, you know, more special because so many young ladies came out that I'm able to inspire, and for them to see themselves in me, see a woman that's from where they're from, look like them, and doing what they're doing right now. So it was just it felt really good to be able to inspire them and to see so many of them out there. But I'm just super grateful for the councilman, the mayor, you know, everybody. They show so much love, and overall, I'm just grateful. But it was just amazing to do it in the city.
Yeah, you know, the point of this podcast isn't necessarily about the X's and O's or what happens on the court. It's really, you know, I told James this last week on the episode I had with him. It's about just passing this wisdom on that you all share day in and day out with all of us in the media. And your career specifically is just such a story of greatness because it's relatable. Like there's so many people who, majority of people, no matter what industry they're in, success is not something that happens overnight. Of course, there's you know, these few examples of greatness that seems to have sprouted overnight. But even in those instances, we're not aware of the work that goes into it. So for all of our listeners, you know, this is something you and I have discussed before. But for all of our listeners, I just would love to hear again how your career, the progression of your career has made you not only a better player, obviously, but a better person as well off the court.
I just think that the process that I that I had, just it made me so humble. It made me a hard worker, and it taught me how to be consistent. And I think that me just working hard, you know, leads to having that confidence and and just seeing my game progress and see my game get so much better every single day is rewarding. So it's like, I want so much more. So for me to continue to just bring that every single day and continue to get better, and just to look back at the process, you know, that I've been through from, you know, traded to not playing, to playing a little bit, to actually playing. And, you know, when the opportunity, when I was granted the opportunity, I just was like, I'm never going to look back. So for it to all happen, and then for this year to have accomplished, you know, big things in one season. My first All-Star, my first championship, and then to get MVP, it's like, wow. Like, you know, this was a lot, but it was pretty special because just looking at everything that I've been through, I wouldn't want to change anything. But, you know, this was a big year for me. So I'm just like, I feel good, you know, just knowing that all the work that I put in, it came out into fruition now.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because at the top of the season, you talked about wanting to be an All-Star, wanting to win a championship here in Chicago. And I don't know if you ever like outwardly said, okay, I want to be Finals MVP until the very end.
Nope, I didn't say that.
Right. You never like spoke about that, but you accomplished all these things you set out to accomplish. And a lot of people wrote about and talked about this year being your breakout year, but this was not your breakout year. Those that have followed your career know that. And so I want to take it back to that 2017 trade that everybody talked about. Chicago was losing Elena, and obviously you and Steph were coming here, but to so many Sky fans, there was this huge question mark of what is this team going to be like without Elena? And many people didn't know the greatness that was on the horizon. So when you first got to Chicago, what was the energy like? Was it like a rebuild feel, or did you all already know the greatness that was in that gym?
I think we definitely knew we had greatness in the gym. It was about putting it all together. It was about everybody coming together, you know, figuring out what they do well and what they needed to consistently bring to the team. So I think that we needed time to really mesh and to really figure things out. And, you know, we had that year to try to figure it out. And I think that James came in and he really shifted the culture for us from day one. And we just started to thoroughly enjoy each other, mm-hmm. which is major. Outside of basketball, we just enjoyed each other, really loved each other. So I think that off the court chemistry plays a major part into our on the court. So yeah, and I just think that we just took off from there. You know, we always knew we had enough. It was about us, you know, putting it all together. And I think James came in and really topped it off for us and really got us going.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like a shift happened when James came in, just in terms of the energy. But before James, there was Amber Stocks who made the trade that brought you to Chicago. So what was she saying to you in your first year in Chicago? What kind of confidence did she have in you being part of this organization in that first year?
You know what? Just kudos to Amber, you know, actually, because... Seriously, just at a GM standpoint, you know, like right. Major, because this was a great team. Like, you know, we had Cheyenne, we had Gabby, we had like me, Steph, you know, with the trade, and like it was a lot, but like there were pieces. It was the pieces that she, you know, she put together, and it was scary, you know. And but now, but then like Amber, you know, she just talked to me about like how trades really, like what they mean. It doesn't really necessarily is a bad thing, you know? I just found out early that I had some worth, you know, I didn't know that. I'm thinking like, hey, why couldn't it have been someone else, you know, getting traded? It's me. And they're like, don't kill yourself. You know, it's a good thing. Like not in the sense it's a good thing because you have worth. It does suck, you know, leaving DC, being close to home, going to Chicago, but in the upside, you know, people see great things in you. I looked at it from that standpoint, and it never really hurt me too bad. I was more hurt that I was away from my family.
Right.
Didn't really bother me about, you know, getting traded or anything, so.
Yeah, I imagine it was like somewhat of a confidence boost being part of a trade that sends, you know, a league MVP like Elena, a star like Elena, yeah. And brings you to that organization. So just being part of that trade, I think it speaks to exactly how great you are and the greatness that Amber knew was on the horizon for you. So when you got to Chicago, you talked about your role and obviously knowing you wanted to build on your role, but a way in for you was the handshakes. So can you share with our listeners the story of the handshakes within the Chicago Sky organization? And, you know, when thinking about players like Sloot and Allie, who are incredible, but maybe like a little bit more reserved, a little bit more of that like laid back veteran style. How did you go about breaking down those walls and being like, yo, we got to bring this energy. We got to, you know, get up before games.
Yeah. So, you know, like coming into Chicago, sorry, y'all, but they was dry. Like they had no swag. They had no nothing. It was just dry. So I'm like, man, you know, I ain't playing a lot. So I'm like, all right, let me do some handshakes. So I think the first year, like, it wasn't too much of bringing people outside of their comfort zone. It was more about, you know, getting the team, like, a different kind of energy, a different kind of, like, swag before the game. Mm-hmm. And so doing the handshakes, you know, it, like, people, they enjoyed it, you know. We were having fun with it. So it was the first year, it was pretty cool. You know, it was brand new to everybody. But, you know, we did it, you know. And then, like, the second year, I'm like, all right, we got to, like, spice it up a little bit. Like, we got to get y'all real hype. So I'm like, all right, I'm giving people a little something, a really, like, outside of their comfort zone a little bit. Trying to get, like, everybody on the team also involved, you know, not just the starters. And then what was that? Is the bubble season next?
Yeah, 2020 was bubble season.
And then it's like, so now here I am starting. And I'm like, I have to find a way to do handshakes. So I'm like, you know, we're doing, like, on the road now. We just, like, whenever we're getting announced, we're like, it's our order. It doesn't matter if they call Sloot first. I'm going to go first. And I'm still going to be able to be that person for us doing handshakes or whatever. So I think this season was probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I salute the dance.
Yo, but during All-Star, another reporter leaned to me and she's like, did you see Sloot's dance move? Like the whole little like cowboy dance move or whatever she does. I'm like, yeah, she's been doing that all year. So how did you convince Sloot to like bring more personality? Because she has a personality. We just don't get to see it that often.
You know, so one day we were looking at handshakes, like different handshakes on this, like YouTube or something.
Yeah.
And I think it was me and Diamond, and we were looking at it. And I'm like, yo, we gotta get to do this. And thinking like, damn, like she might not do this, but I'm like, nah, she gonna do it. So I bring her the video, or whatever. She's like, oh my goodness. I'm like, listen. She's like, oh, I'm be so nervous. I'm like, nah, just go home and just keep practicing in the mirror. Practice with Allie, like just keep practicing. And she was like, you know, like she was just like, I'm going to do it. And I think that, you know, like it's really the small things outside of basketball that's really like major, you know, like she could have been like, nah, I ain't doing that. Like, nah.
Right.
But she did it for the team. Like the team thoroughly enjoys seeing her outside of her comfort zone. Like it gives everybody energy. And I think that that energy is important. So for her to be like, all right, y'all, I'm going to do it. Like, not be like a bum and be like, nah, I'm not going to do it. She was like, nah, I'm going to do it. And like, love doing it. Like, and even like Allie with our pregame chant, like when we were at a place, you know, we had lost the 7 and then like, we weren't doing our pregame stuff.
Uh-huh.
Y'all, we ain't got no swag. That's why we losing. We just walking out and playing the game. Like we just ain't even fun. So I never forget, we were on our way to Indiana. We were on the bus, practicing over and over and over again. It was so funny because Allie like, yo, we not leaving this part out. We not leaving this, but we doing this part. And I'm like, wow, Allie, is this really you saying this? I'm like, wow, okay. Allie said we doing this, so we doing it. And, you know, we won 7 straight after that. Literally right after that. So I think that was important and it was cool. Everything was fun.
Yeah. I mean, I think that just speaks to the family dynamic y'all have on this team and had this year specifically, because, you know, from an outside perspective, a lot of people, I think, would look at Allie and wouldn't expect her to be the one that's getting all hyped up on a pregame chant or a pregame, making sure that y'all get it right. So it just, it speaks to how you all came together and, you know, created this energy together. It wasn't just one player. And, you know, you brought up the 7-game losing streak, and it's interesting to look back at it now. Like, in that moment, it was really hard.
That was hard.
Oh my God. Even as a media member, I was like, yo, they are not going to want to say shit to me in this post game interview. Like, it just, it got low for a minute there. But the interesting part from my perspective was that no matter how low it got, y'all still believed so heavy. Like, there was never a time when you came into the post game and were like, this isn't working or that isn't working. You kept preaching this mentality of like, it's gonna work. It's gonna work. It's gonna work. And then it did. It did. You guys kept pushing through and then obviously turned things around with the win streak. So, you know, looking back on that moment, how challenging was it to maintain that mentality, or was it second nature?
You know, I definitely think it was challenging, but we never wavered because we always knew we had enough. You know, even when Allie, Candace, and we didn't have Allie, Candace, and Steph, you know, we were losing those games and we were looking at stat sheets about like turnovers. Like, at the end of the season, we start making jokes about like, yo, we were turning the ball over 20 times, you know? Like,
yeah, I remember. Like I
remember. Over 20 times. Like, that is ridiculous. Like, it's no way that we should have ever been turning the ball over 20 times or 25. And I'm like, yo, that's crazy. And like, we start, like I said, we start making jokes and stuff, but I'm like, yo, like, we killing ourselves right now. Like, it's no reason why we should have gave them the ball, turned it over 25 times. So during that 7-game losing, like, we were like, yeah, like, we're so good. Like, we're so good. And we always knew that we were that close to getting over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was very, we have such strong leadership, in our locker room also, who, especially in Candace, you know, who've been on, another team, who she won a championship, knew how seasons go up and down and knew how things go. But, you know, I think she kept our heads on straight. She kept us, you know, putting one foot in front of the other. But at the end of the day, I think we always knew how good we were.
Mm-hmm.
Always knew we had enough. So it was never a question about us not being good enough. It was about us figuring it out and what we needed to do.
Before we get to the semifinals and the finals, there were a couple of things I wanted to talk about during the actual season. And, you know, that one of those things is leadership. And you all have talked about the, you know, the three-headed monster, the three veteran leaders on this team, and Sloot, Allie, and Candace. And obviously, spending a couple years with Sloot and Allie before Candace arrived, you have experience of what this team was like without Candace. And you talked about, you know, Courtney is this lead by example, super passionate, super hardworking. And Allie is like really relatable, you know, touches her teammates on a personal level in order to, you know, to be heard. And then Candace comes in and makes this difference in leadership. So can you speak to what Candace really did add to those two veteran leaders that you already had that this team really needed?
You know, I think Candace has such a strong personality, and, you know, we've never had that leader, that direct leader, the leader who's going to call you out directly, like, hey, you need to do this right. This is not right. Also the leader who's willing to teach, it's like having an extra coach, you know. It's funny, but Candace literally never stops talking. Like, she's like, yeah, we need to do this. We start doing it. She's like, you're doing that wrong. You need to do it. I'm like, bruh. But like, when I tell you, I appreciate her so much. Like, I think that it's so important to have, you know, the different leadership styles, but for her to consistently bring what she brought for us, it was everything. Like, she literally brought everything, and including the blueprint on how to win a championship, and just keeping us calm in those moments, you know, just telling us, like, yo, y'all, we're good. Like, I think that that's the most important thing, is her experience and that wisdom that she has. And I think that we're just also grateful for her. You know, it's obviously an adjustment because we have such quiet leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So we see what it really means and what it really is to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good to be able to learn from her and to see how everybody adjusts next year and to see what everybody else brings as far as at a leader standpoint.
Yeah. Can you speak to how Candace has influenced you? We'll get into the game aspect, but in the leadership aspect, because you talk a lot about how, you know, quiet you are off the court. And James talks about how humble you are off the court, and you're not this like boisterous, like loud necessarily the person that's yelling in everybody's ear. So what did she teach you as you enter this next phase of your career about, you know, stepping up and being vocal when it's necessary? Do you feel more comfortable in that role now?
I definitely feel much more confident with that. And I think that she just like instilled this confidence in me and just was like she texted me something the other day. It was like, yo, like, know your worth. And it's just like, yo, this is Candace. Like, this is Candace saying, know your worth. You know, like, this is not just anybody. So, you know, we were just having a conversation about something. And she's like, yo, like, know your worth. Like, and I think that what's really special is that she was genuinely rooting for me every single step of the way. Mm-hmm. You know, even her winning the championship, she's like, you're going to be MVP. Like, this is what you like. This is what you do for us. Like, you're so special. Like, it's just, it's so many things. I could tell you so many things, so many stories, but I think that, honestly, she's just elevated my game on a mentality standpoint, on a confidence standpoint, and on a maturity standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And just how to handle, you know, being that person for us, you know, being that person from, you know, not playing to playing to, you know, being that player for us, that go-to person for us. So she just helped me handle and like manage that. And it just was amazing.
Yeah. You know, your guys's friendship was such a cool thing to see evolve. I think for fans and even for us in the media, it became clearer and clearer how close you all were. So when she first arrived, you know, how did that friendship get established? Like, what was the first thing y'all did, just the two of you as friends, or to really establish that bond?
So what's so crazy is like the beginning of the season, first of all, she's holding this grudge against me because I am quote unquote the only one who didn't call her and say welcome to the sky. Okay, so I wasn't. Yeah, okay.
Wait, so first then who else didn't call her?
It was just me.
Oh, okay. I thought you said
so. She's like, so you're the only one that didn't call me, you know? I'm like, yo, I could have sworn I did, but maybe I didn't.
How do you forget to call your new teammate who is Candace Parker?
Because I think I like commented on something that she posted, and I was like, or I posted it on my Instagram, like, congratulations, like, welcome. She wanted a text message because she's such a princess, or a call or a phone call. So I didn't call her, which I'm sorry. But you know, what's even funnier is we didn't start. We were sending each other stuff on Instagram every single day. You know, we didn't even follow each other. We were just sending each other stuff on Instagram.
Yo, that's hilarious. Like the memes and stuff.
Yes, like memes, like funny videos, like literally every single day.
What's your y'all's favorite account that you were sending each other shit from?
Let me see. What was out? It's like a bunch weird of random page.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, like random stuff. She's funny. It's funny.
That's hilarious. So then when she got here, was there a comment exchange, or were you guys just, you know, water under the bridge and kept it moving? Like, when did that friendship, you know, here in person really get established?
Jeez, that's actually hard because it wasn't like, you know, directly from the beginning. But I think maybe like a couple games in, she just really like she took me under her wing early on, but then she was like, no, like, you're going to be that for us. And I'm like, sure. Like, okay. And I think that we just connected. We were locked in. Mm-hmm. We was just locked in.
The team has talked a lot about this like moment, this shift that happened after y'all beat Dallas, that there was this just intense feeling of we're going to do this. We're going to get to the finals. We're going to win a championship. But right before that, you guys, there was some adversity you guys had to address and face before the playoffs even began. So right before, you know, that game against Dallas, I think it was the Vegas game. And then you ended the season with the fever. How did you guys come together in that moment to be like, okay, we got to get this shit straight before the playoffs? Or how would you describe that moment?
It was easy because we knew, like, we were so ready to let go of the regular season. It was so much, like, we were so done with the regular season. We're like, yo, we're about to be a totally different team right now. Like, I love the fact that, you know, we had those single elimination games because our sense of urgency hit the roof. Mm-hmm. And when we play with fire under our butts, we are a totally different team. Mm-hmm. And I think that going into the playoffs, we were just so glad to We were just so glad to let that go. Mm-hmm. And we let the regular season go and we knew we had a clean slate. So we were like, okay, like, we're good. And mm-hmm. then we just went to those single elimination games like super serious. Like, our sense of urgency was crazy. So that was the best thing for us.
You know, you guys always talk about the family dynamic on this team and credit James for creating that. And, you know, we don't really get to witness his personality too much. We don't see him mm-hmm. the way y'all see him. And one moment during the season that y'all talk about as just him being relentless was during the Olympic break. So I wonder if you could break down for us a little bit how intense James got during that Olympic break, you know, series of practices.
Did you talk to him about it? Did you ask him?
You know what? I asked him a couple times and he was just kind of like, he was just kind of reserved about it, of like, oh yeah, we're practicing every day. Like, oh yeah, we're going hard in practice. Like, he never elaborated beyond
the fact. Like, I thought about it after the fact, like right now, when you talked to him last week, did you ask him about Olympic break?
No, I should. You want me to text him right now? I'll text him.
Yeah, you should have asked him about that because I want to know what he thought about it. But like, when I tell you he hit another gear, another level, like, you know, day one, you know, we thought it was going to be, we was going to ease into it. This man said one-on-one full court. We said, what? I said, nah, no way. Candace looking all crazy. All the old people looking crazy. Even the young people looking crazy. We like, nah, he ain't serious. He like, yo, let's go. Like, I'm like, oh, he's serious. Come on, let's go.
And so like, who were you one-on-one against in full court? Like, who did you all match up against?
We played a lot of one-on-one during the break. Like, okay. It really got our competitiveness, like, really going. We were, like, getting after it, like, for real.
Wrapping up, just got a few more questions for you. But, you know, you wrote an article in the Players Tribune recently, and you conclude it with, let's run it back. I don't know if those are your exact words, but you, hold on, let me pull it up. Yeah. You say, are y'all ready for another run at this thing? And hit everybody with those question marks. And so I just wonder what exactly you meant by that, Kalia. Can you share with us?
That's funny. You're great at your job. Amazing.
You know, I was just saying, like, I don't know. I was just saying for real, let's run it back. But, you know, free agency and all that. Got to go through that. Get through that.
Which brings me to my next question. I know you and I have joked multiple times about what this free agency period is going to bring for you, but what's been the best piece of advice you've received about free agency and how to approach free agency after a monumental season like you just had that's clearly going to impact the way teams come at you?
I've just been told to just, you know, just take your time. It's no rush. To just, you know, not close yourself off to anything. Just enjoy it for that matter, you know. You know, last free agency, I was restricted. So now I guess I have, it's a little different this time. Off having a great season and off being an unrestricted free agent. So just to approach it, you know, open and just see what's out there, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, I talked to Wade about it and he said straight up that when you think about the Chicago Sky, you think about Kalia Copper now and what a priority it's going to be for him as the general manager to bring you back to Chicago. So in your exit interview, you know, in conversation since the season ended, what can you share with us about, you know, the likelihood of you returning to Chicago?
Chicago is like my second home. First of all, it reminds me so much of Philly. And you know, it's a quick flight home, easy flight. So great place. You know, I love my teammates, love my coaches. It wouldn't be hard for me to come back at all. So I just want to make that point. But, you know, I just want to talk to the general manager.
Well, free agency opens up in January, so it's going to be a busy time for all of us. And before we wrap things up here, that exit interview with James, how does it go after winning a championship? What was that conversation like before, you know, leaving the team, leaving Chicago? What did you guys talk about, you know, as this season came to an end?
We just talked about the season, you know, the ups and downs of it. Let's talk about me, how I evolved, how I grew through the season, and just what it's going to take to, you know, continue to elevate. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah, when you talk about how you continue to elevate, how do you do that? Like, you've accomplished so much this year. So what's the priority for you next?
Defense, our defensive team that I thought I should have been on, but that's the next thing for me. You know, I take pride in playing both sides of the ball. So getting on an all defensive team and then, you know, working the way up, maybe defensive player of the year, maybe.
Listen, I mean, Kalia's obviously queen of manifestation. She manifested everything that she got this year. She spoke it into existence and worked it into existence. And next up for you, you're going overseas to play in Spain. So what's going to be a focus for you while you are playing overseas? Anything that you want to change about your game, improve about your game, or focus on during your overseas season?
I'm trying to be a better passer. I want to be a better passer, and I'm trying to consistently shoot the three. Well, I think that's major for me, making decisions with the ball. If I'm able to be a better passer, that's going to change a lot of things. And if I'm hitting the three consistently, then I'm putting you in closeout situations. So I think that's major for me to continue to grow.
Definitely, definitely. And you know what? Before we hang this call up, we have to address the picture, the moment between you and Sophie Cunningham. You and I, again, have talked about this before, and you said, you know, this is basketball. It's not more than that. But I wonder, you know, that moment, what it brings to the league, what it brings to two teams when you have a moment like that goes viral. Like, does it create a rivalry? Does it create any like animosity between players, or is it just a moment?
Nah, it's not a moment, you know. I won a championship. So, you know, those things happen.
We need to start embracing it, you know, letting us be passionate, letting us be feisty.
Yeah, it happened, but it's over. No rivalry, none of that. Just playing basketball with a little passion.
There you go. Well, Kalia, I appreciate your time as always. It's great to catch up. I know it's been a minute since we've talked. Y'all are, you know, hopefully enjoying some time off, and it won't be too long till I'm back bugging you all about what's next. Is it going to be Chicago? Is it going to be somewhere else? We'll see. But as always, I appreciate your time.